Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. We're in chapter 3 and verse 10, and we'll be looking at what Paul means when referring to the fellowship of his sufferings. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's the letter B three times, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, titled The Fellowship of His Sufferings. This is part 1 of 2.
In chapter 3, verse 10, focusing in on the fellowship of his sufferings. Is that a phrase you're familiar with? The fellowship of his sufferings. It's basically the third point that we're studying today of what I've turned into a four-point sermon on verse 10. And we're giving this over a four-week period. And to really know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, which we studied last week, we must know his sufferings. Now that, to a lot of Christians, sounds like heresy. I mentioned last week that a lot of Christians, I'll say get saved, I don't know how many of them really do, but they claim to have gotten saved whenever a preacher preached and told them, if you'll just ask Jesus in your heart, he'll take all your problems away. And the Bible says your problems just started. Amen. The Bible says that once you're saved, you now become hated by the world. Jesus said they hate you because of me. And that he said they hated me first. If you're Christ-like in this world, the world should want to kill you. That's what they did to Jesus. It was all the little guys on up to the big guys were out there yelling, "Crucify him!" Why? Because he told them the truth. And the world does not want to hear the truth. And that's where I want to jump in here and just show you my little personal report here. I'm going to Gab to show you this. Gab is a social media site. Some of you know I've been banned from Facebook. I think I had another couple of weeks on that ban. And that was for rebuking a lesbian whore. And this time, they banned me because a liberal snowflake reported me. And here's the screenshot that you aren't going to be able to see because it's too small. Wouldn't you know it? Let's see. There, that might be a little better. And I'm going to repeat what I posted, and this got me banned. The leftists in this country are calling for violence. And you can see it on MSNBC, and you can see it all over the internet. The leftists are calling for leftists to take to the streets and to begin a violent revolution. So I am telling you, you should have guns. And you should have plenty of ammo. And the only time you should shoot somebody is if they're coming in your home or church to shoot you. But if they come in that door or this door and begin shooting, I'm going to shoot them in the face. And so should you. And I'm so tired of the panty-waist men in America these days who let their own families get raped and killed because they won't protect them. But I'm sick of preachers who do not call on Christian men to act like men. Amen. The Bible says if you don't take care of your own, and it doesn't say anything about making sure they have Wheaties. Everybody always takes that text and say, oh, let's talk about feeding your family. No, it's not. It says provide for, and it doesn't give a limitation. And if you don't understand that you and young men, Johnny and, I won't name all that. I want to call them out and embarrass them, but Dre and Dorian and that. I did say it out loud, didn't I? Don't get married unless you're going to be a man. Don't marry, first of all, don't marry unless it's a woman you're marrying. And don't marry her unless you will protect her and the children God blesses you with. Because if you won't, you're not a man. That's what got me banned off Twitter last night. Because I posted and called on Christians. I didn't call on violence, offensive violence. I called on them to practice self-defense. And I quoted Jesus Christ, who told his followers right before he went to the cross that if they didn't have a sword, they should sell their coat and their script and buy a sword. And if those leftists out there want to yap and scream and yell about violent revolution, we need to practice a little bit of deterrent by letting them know we're ready for you. Amen. Try it. Those cowards won't. But they will. They will when they don't think they're going to be faced with a blaze of gunfire. That's why they go into inner cities and go in and, what do they call that when they go into the house? Home invasions. Those don't happen in small towns. They tried it in London a couple weeks ago and dude got killed. Small town London. I lived in Washington Courthouse. They tried it once when I lived down there. They tried it once. Dead. You know why they try it in the inner cities? Because the people who live in the inner cities are stupid. They're liberal brainwashing. That's why Democrats run all the inner cities. That's why they're hellholes. And Democrats talk their followers into not being armed. And so any criminal knows if he wants to get in and have a free ride and free reign, go into the inner cities. That's where he's going to find unarmed idiots. Amen. And so I don't apologize for calling on Christians, Christian men especially. But I'll warn these guys out there, that doesn't mean our women aren't armed. And I've seen them shoot. You better hope it's one of us men shooting at you. Because I'm not as good a shot as a few of the women in this room. Man enough to admit it. So look at verse 10. And by the way, I got 2 hours of sleep last night. Just want you to know that, because if you doze off, I'm yelling at you. You got more sleep than I did. Stay awake. Read verse 10 with me. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And we looked at what it meant to know Him. It's not to know that Jesus exists, not to know who He is, but it's an intimacy, a closeness. And when you know Him, then you begin to understand the power of His resurrection. And when you really grasp the power of His resurrection, you're no longer afraid to die. And I believe a lot of the cowardice we see in Christian men today are because they really are afraid to die. Because they're not really close to the biblical Jesus. They don't really have a strong understanding and faith in the power of His resurrection. They're scared. And I can sympathize. But that's your choice. It's all by your choice. You can choose to fill yourself with the Word of God. And you can choose to grow closer to the Lord by shunning sin, shunning the flesh, filling yourself with His Word, spending time in prayer, preaching His gospel, and then you'll really grasp and understand the power of His resurrection. And when you do that, then you can begin to know the fellowship of His sufferings. But people, if you don't know Him, understand and grasp the power of His resurrection, you're not going to be ready to suffer for Jesus. And then, of course, there's a lot of people who don't want to. You know, their idea of Christianity and Jesus is they wanted to find a sugar daddy. God the Father is their sugar daddy. That's what they think. They think He exists just to make them happy and to give them everything they want. Life gets rough, rub the genie. That's how they treat God. And not many Christians are really interested in this message. I would guess that by this point, many people have already turned that off. Many people will turn that off when they hear it on the radio or they see it on the internet. They'll already turn it off. They don't want to hear this stuff. You know how many times we've had people come here and visit. You know how many times they've said, "Well, you know, the stuff you say is true, Pastor, but I don't go to church to hear that. I go to hear something that makes me feel good." I said, "Well, that's interesting because the Bible predicted people like you in the end times. That they'd have itching ears. And they'd gather to themselves teachers who will pet them on the head and tell them how wonderful they are." So, at least you can look at the bright side, you're fulfilling prophecy. By not being a student who loves the truth. See, when I sit down, even now, when I sit down, I want to hear God's Word. And if there's something I need to hear, I want it to hit right there. I want toes stomped if my toes need stomped. Christians these days, they're not interested in that kind of thing. But here's the reality. A couple bumper stickers if you want one. No suffering, N-O, no Jesus. How many of you know you can be saved and not have a relationship with Jesus? Amen. That sounds like heresy to some of these people. The fact is, most Christians today would be going to hell if that weren't the case. I don't know very many Christians who have a real relationship with Jesus. Their Jesus is a figment of their own imagination. They make it up. They don't go by the Bible Jesus, and they don't know Him, and they don't have a close relationship with Him. They're not willing to grow into His suffering. But if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, then you will know suffering. Isn't that wonderful? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful message, preacher. I'm loving this. Everybody says, "I want to be like Jesus." But few want to know His suffering. I'm so tired of these goofball professing Christians who say, "I want to be like Jesus." And what they mean is, "I want to be loved by everybody." And what Jesus said is, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." So did they, the false prophets. See? You want to be like Jesus? You better start seeing some people not like you. There should be people not liking you. Not because you're a jerk, but because you preach the truth. Because you tell somebody the truth. That's why they don't like you. Jesus' suffering was not doing time for crime. I've worked in a prison for a short stint, and I've ministered in prison. And that was a lot of fun because I used to tell everybody, you know, "Well, Thursday I'm going to prison." "Oh, what for?" No, I'm going to prison to preach. But when I got there, it's amazing how many of these guys tried to picture themselves as suffering for Jesus. They were in jail and they were suffering for Jesus. That's not the kind of suffering we're talking about. But there were a couple of those guys who went to prison because they deserved it. But when they were in there, started living for the Lord and did start suffering for Jesus. See the difference? You're not suffering for Jesus when you kill somebody and go to prison for life. But like Son of Sam, you can get saved and then start to suffer for Jesus. Amen. Jesus did not suffer for failure to pay his bills. Now, there might be times where because of things you are suffering, then you are unable to pay your bills. And that's a time of trial. And that's where literally you can be in a situation where you're suffering rightly. But a lot of people I know have plenty of money for all the other nonsense and then don't pay their bills. See? That's not suffering for Jesus. And then, of course, you got these folks who are just beside themselves because they paid their bills and now they're going to lose their cable TV. Oh. That might be called a blessing. Also, Jesus didn't suffer for personal sins. Jesus was sinless. So when you sin and suffer the consequences, don't turn yourself into a martyr. And he was not suffering for doing stupid things. Amen?
Yes.
Like biting into a Tide Pod and then having blisters in your mouth. The big thing that with a lot of kids these days. Yeah. Why you got those blisters in your mouth, kid? Because I bit into a Tide Pod. Bless your heart, suffering for the Lord like that. What? Bleach the gene pool. Sadly, that's not what they're accomplishing. Jesus suffered for doing right. Say that with me. Jesus suffered for doing right. You ever come to me and want to play the martyr for being stupid or doing things that you shouldn't do, I'm not going to go along with it. I'm going to tell you, no, you're suffering for being stupid. Amen. I love you enough to tell you that. But if you come to me and you are doing what's right, I'm just telling you, I'm going to be one of your best friends. I'm going to be right there with you. Even if you do something stupid, I'll be right there with you if you'll stop doing stupid things. If you can repent and take good counsel, we'll help you. But especially if you're suffering for doing right, let me tell you, most all the friends, I'm saying that because I don't have a perfect recall, but most all the friends that I no longer have any like daily or weekly or even monthly communication with, they walked away. I put a high price on loyalty. And I will be able to stand before the Lord and say that I have done my best to be a loyal friend. Can't say that about most of my friends.
Yeah.
And some of you are like that. Maybe you're alone a lot. Well, God's blessed you with a local church family.
Amen.
At least 2 days out of the week you can have company. People are busy. You can't expect everybody to be around every day, but you ought to be able to get along being alone once in a while. But then you have your local church family. Isn't God good? He could have just left you alone to fend for yourself. Look at this. 2 Timothy 3:12. We quoted this in the past. Read that with me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is that not an emphatic statement? Isn't that dogmatic? All. Unless you're a Calvinist, then that's only the elect. All that will live godly. So you can be a Christian and not suffer persecution because you're not living godly. See that? But all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I'm just being real with you. You better count the cost. If you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to lose some friends.
Yeah.
If you're going to live for the Lord, you might be lonely at times. A.W. Tozer is a writer that is well known. Desiring God was one of his popular books. Knowledge of the Holy. He's got some. Now, there are times where he kind of comes close to the Lordship salvation stuff. But if you read it closely, I don't believe that's what he was teaching. And what I mean by that is some people try to make salvation something you really can't know unless you make Jesus Lord of your life and persevere. That's Calvinism, perseverance of the saints. All of us have our good days and our bad days.
Amen.
I'm man enough to stand up here and tell you that Jesus is not Lord of my life 24 hours a day. Amen. It's a struggle. I have to reel myself in by simply submitting to His Spirit and saying, Lord, take over. This is Greg getting in the way. Amen. And whether you're man or woman enough to admit it, I know it's true about you too.
Amen.
But Tozer wrote a piece on the loneliness of the saint that was just such an encouragement to me. Because I thought there was something wrong with me. Because I realized that the more I lived for the Lord, the more I sold out for the Lord, the less friends I had. And again, not boasting, people who know me know that when I was in high school, I was Mr. Popular. Had all the friends, had more friends than I knew existed. Everybody was my friend. Oh yeah, I'm friends with Fudge, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I don't really miss that. But after I became a Christian, you talk about going from one extreme to the other. Mr. Popular to Mr., you know, person non grata. And, you know, I met a few Christians like that, and I saw I wasn't alone, and then I read that piece by Tozer. And it is just the reality that you better be fully aware of what you're doing. If you're going to live for the Lord, you need to be close to Him because He's going to replace a lot of people in your life.
Amen.
Those closest to Jesus in the Bible suffered. How many of you knew that?
Amen.
Wednesday night, Stephen talked about this. Let's go to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Verse 20, 2020. Matthew 20, beginning of verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. See, they wanted to be close to Jesus. They wanted to be right there next to him, right hand and left hand. Look at verse 22. Read that with me. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. He's not talking about water baptism there, as Stephen pointed out Wednesday. Look at verse 23. And he saith unto them, this is prophecy, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. What's he saying? He's talking about his suffering and death. The cup. He prayed, if this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, Father, thy will be done. That cup he was talking about was his suffering, and that's why we drink out of a cup the red wine of blood, because his cup was blood. His cup was suffering and death. And that's what happened to his closest disciples. Now, some of the stories we have about them, we're not 100% sure they're factual. But the story of Peter being crucified upside down, Paul being beheaded, John, who wrote the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, as an elderly man, exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He was about 100 years old. And Patmos was not a vacation resort. It was a big rock in the middle of the ocean with nothing. He probably lived off of scorpions and bugs. That's the kind of baptism Jesus is talking about there. And I think most Christians, if they were told right now that if you're going to follow me and you're going to be close to me, this is what you're going to suffer, would walk away. Because I believe that's what they've done. They'll still claim to be Christians, but I really believe there's a lot of people who know that if they stood where they ought to stand, it would cause suffering, and that's why they don't stand. They're not willing. The apostles suffered severe persecution. And that's the question we ask. Will you share in his sufferings too? Will you share in the fellowship of his sufferings? Look at Mark chapter 8. Turn over a few pages there. Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, beginning verse 34. As you turn there, I'll read the first verse there. He says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, I'm sorry, but that is a complete contradiction of Your Best Life Now by Joel Osteen. That is a complete contradiction of The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It is a complete contradiction of Enjoying Everyday Life with Joyce Meyer. It's a complete contradiction of what you hear from Creflo Dollar. Turn on TBN and almost every preacher on there contradicts Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you want to follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself, not love yourself. Some guy rapes a bunch of women, kills people, goes to court, and they say,
"He just suffers from low self-esteem. That's his problem."
Hogwash. He esteems himself so highly that he thinks he can take you women anytime he wants to. That's not a lack of self-esteem. That's a lie of the devil being sold by the millions in our government-controlled schools today and all over the media and even in evangelical crap being sold in the bookstores. And it angers me because it's killing people. Stop esteeming yourself and deny yourself. According to Jesus Christ, call Him Lord, then do what He says. Amen? The bookstore should go broke next week. They won't. 35. Read that with me.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.